Well, I hope everybody enjoyed their lunch. I know I did, and I thought I'd take a Fitbit break. So I've been sitting here watching Gene work out, and I'm pretty tired. So there you go. There you go.
John.
right, door prize team, ready?
All right. Do you want a smaller door prize or a larger door prize?
Yeah, we'll do a small. Let's see. Yeah, we'll do a small one right now.
Okay. We're going to do a $25 from the Northwest chapter, and it's going to go to Kathy Shepherd. Kathy, you
Kathy
got
Shepard.
3 minutes to call or raise your hand. And our number is 317-504-5281.
Excellent. Excellent. Okay, Kathy, if you're out there in cyberspace land, raise your hand or call in. We're waiting on you. All right. So I hope everybody again had an outstanding lunch, and because we're getting ready to have an outstanding presentation. The state of Indiana affiliate has been looking into starting a community service division or a group or committee, if you will. And we are blessed to have the very, very famous, I think, presenter in this next presentation. So I'm going to let our second vice president, Lee Martin, who knows her very well and has been working with her closely when I was doing the underserved population committee for national. She spoke at our committee meeting and brought the house down. So I'm sure she'll do a fabulous job here. Here to present our next presenter is Lee Martin.
Well, President Brown, you are exactly right about this particular presenter. She is one of these days, expect for her to be world renowned. She has great with the spoken word. She's a great orator and a great speaker. We are looking forward to a great hour with her. And by the time she finishes, you'll be wishing you had another hour with her. So the great work that she's been doing through the great big city of Beaumont, Texas, in the great big state of Texas. It is my pleasure and my honor to introduce and bring to you all Miss Janetta Price. Janetta, the floor is yours.
All right. Hello, Indiana. How you guys are doing? Thank you, Lee Martin. Thank you, President Ron. I'm super excited to be here. First, I just want to start off by please allow me to bless you all with a visual of Miss Price. Got it right, baby. I am dipped in the richest cocoa mocha chocolate, complemented by the most beautiful opposite really do attract eyes. Wait a minute. I can't forget about my thick, bold braids that serve as a reflection of my personality that sway past my backside. No, not to mention, I am a full figure queen size. If you know what I mean when I say Texas raised in hot water cornbread fed traditional Southern belle, who is blinded by ambition, guided by intuition, a leader with vision. And last but not least, I am proud to say it loud. I serve as president of the National Federation of the Blind Community Service Division. And the church said, oh, man. All right, I can't sing. That's not my gift, but Braille right along. Let's talk about Braille right
Love
along. And let's talk about community service and how some of us play blind games. Well, what do you mean, Janetta Price, blind games? Simmer down, folks, simmer down. Allow me to explain. In my younger years, I worked as a behavior specialist at a local high school. In this position, I also served as a sponsor of the Christian Club. At our annual banquet, we always gave out appreciation awards to the community supporters. One day, I was presenting the awards, and I acknowledged a sponsor who informed me that she wasn't going to be able to make it. But one of my used-to-be favorite students stopped me in my tracks by shouting, "Miss Price, she's here." I said, "Oh, students, what did I say when someone entered my classroom without identifying themselves?" My same used-to-be favorite student jumped up out of his seat and said, "Get out." Under my breath, I said, "Not that one." With laughter, he said, "Stop playing blind games. Needless to say, the superintendent, administrator, staff, family, and friends, I was taken by the spirit of laughter. And the moral of this story is, stop playing blind games with your community service. For example, I'm not going to call any names, but a well-seasoned, willing worker called me regarding the community service division. She shared that she loved volunteering, but at the time, she was not engaged in any type of volunteering. I said, oh, okay. My thoughts was, okay, she playing blind game. See, I know this seasoned lady. She teaches Sunday school to the youth every Sunday. So I challenged her thinking. I said, oh, so the church is now paying you to teach Sunday school? She was like, in a very high, like soprano voice, she began to sing, the devil is a liar. You guess what? I said, well, stop playing blind games. Today, I'm asking everyone who can hear my voice to just take a minute and just stop. Give yourself some credit. Stop playing blind games. Own your community service. Often we do not consider it to be community service because it is our lifestyle. The problem has forced us to really change our way of thinking when it comes to service, the pandemic. So it's like now service that has changed. Service don't look the same. A lot of times we do things out of the name of love. We share our gifts, our talents, and we serve everywhere we go. But it's different. Our serving is different at this time. So I'm just going to ask you guys to just take this moment and think back of everything that you have done. If you're not getting paid for it, then it's community service. Have your service changed due to the pandemic? Yes. The pandemic, so many people was like, Janetta, we can't go out and serve anymore. What are we going to do? We're going to stop a minute and we're going to serve wherever we are. That's what we're going to do. I don't care if that's doing well check and calling somebody and saying, hey, are you okay? You just don't know. You probably saved somebody's life that day. So I'm going to move on. We just have to embrace change. A good book that really helped me adjust the change is entitled Who Moved My Cheese by Spencer Jackson. The book is very refreshing and also thought-provoking. This book was given to me by a good friend that always have a riddle behind his gifts. I begin to ponder and just think about the title, Who Moved My Cheese? First of all, I'm a lover of cheese. You know what kind of cheese I'm talking about, like cheese like cheddar, like cheese like coins, like change, ching, ching. See, once upon a time, that remind me, once upon a time, there lived a family called the Number Family. The family was all about their change. The Number family experienced adversity daily. Society take one good look at them and automatically prejudged them that the Number family was indeed a big problem. However, the Number family seemed to find solutions to every problem. The Number family was strong advocates who wasn't afraid of problem because they was pretty good at math. One day, oh my God, the Number family separated. The odds and the evens was divided. They could not get along for some reason. Needless to say, their behavior caused more problems. Because they are stronger together and accomplished much more when they work together, there was a great gathering so they can come back together and see how they can join forces once again to solve daily problems. The leaders of the Number family was able to come up with solutions and was able to overcome the problems at hand. The leaders expressed that today they will overcome. We shall overcome division among our leaders, multiplied by confusion, driving away our leaders. We shall overcome subtraction of our families to the color of their skin. We all serve as a special addition to our Federation family. So that means that you and me are kin. My brothers and sisters, it's time to make a stand. Our organization is crying out for change and we serve as game changers. Time to give more, love more, give more vulnerability, give more of yourself. I need your audio to match your video. I am my brother keeper. Numbers don't lie. We are stronger together. We are the largest organization in the world advocating on behalf of the blind America and more. We shall overcome any problem by joining hands and working towards solutions to add love, to track hate, multiply the federation, and remove the blindfolds that divide us. We are stronger together. Say it loud, say it proud. Federation forever. Thank you.
Excellent. Excellent.
So what I want to do is just open it up for questions and also any feedback. I welcome you guys to the Community Service Division. I thank you guys for allowing me to share on this platform. But one way I give back is using my voice. And a lot of times I'm just asking you guys to just tap into your gifts and your talents and continue to give. And I know that you guys don't do it for just attention or do it for, you know, you just do it because that's your lifestyle. I just want to encourage you guys to keep serving wherever you are. And yes, time has changed, has brought about a change, but we have to embrace the change. It's just no other way around it. So I just really thank God for the opportunity to serve and to be able to embrace change. And that is life, because if life change every day, we're changing and we're growing. And if we're not growing, that means we're no longer living. I am Janetta Price. And again, thank you for the opportunity to use my voice.
So Janetta, can you tell us why we're looking for raised hands? Can you tell us briefly some of the projects that you worked on this year and some of the projects that are special to you? Like, I believe it's Black Girl Magic and other projects like that. If you can,
sure.
While we're getting hands raised.
Okay. First of all, I would like to share about the Community Service Division. For July, we serve not just the Community Service Division. It goes beyond the Community Service Division because we network and we embrace the community. So many people join in. For National Convention, we partner with the Ronald McDonald House in Maryland. And we reached out to our Federation family and beyond. And we was able to give back in a major way. We was able to give back over 100 blankets. We was able to give back over 100 words of encouragement. Because every day at the Ronald McDonald House, those who don't know, is a home for children and their family who are going through like a terminal illness. They charge them nothing. So that is a way that we was able to give back. But like I said, it goes beyond a division. It went beyond the federation. And it was just nothing but love. People was just donating all over the world. That was that organization first time interacting with the blind. We set the bar. I just thank God for the opportunity that she gave us an opportunity to serve the way we know how to serve. So I just want to, if you was involved in that project with the Ronald McDonald House, I just want to take this opportunity to say thank you. So every year, the Community Service Division, we host a national project. When the pandemic first hit, we didn't do anything because we was like, what are we going to do? Everybody was trying to survive. But this year, we wasn't allowing the change to stop us from serving. And we found a way to serve and give back in a major way, in a life-changing way. So with that being said, we're going to move on, Braille, right along to Blind Girl Magic, which is my company. And Blind Girl Magic hosts events to just really highlight blindness at its greatest. We put on productions. Our last production was I Am Black History, and we had over 20 blind and also sighted individuals on the platform sharing monologues, and was able to not only share a monologue about somebody in history, past or present, but was also able to share about their history, because we're all history makers. So Blind Girl Magic is a motivational company, and we embrace who we are. And we also rock Blind Girl Magic gear, because it's, like I said, it's a lifestyle. It's a movement. And anything that I do, it's a part of a movement. So that's a little bit about Blind Girl Magic and also the Community Service Division. I don't want to take up so much of your time, Sharon. I want to know, you know, if you guys have any questions.
I think we have Miranda Williams wanting to ask the question, and I believe next will be Corey Wills after her. Miranda?
Yes, Miranda. Sir. Hi, Madam President of the Community Service Division. I just wanted to tell you that very powerful, very inspirational, makes me want to get up and move. So can you please share with us how we can join the CSD division?
Of course, Madam Vice President of the Community Service Division, shout out. I tell you that every year we take membership, it's $5. That's the only time that we take membership. However, anybody is welcome to join a division, but we only take memberships. You won't be a paid member, but you will definitely be a member. We don't turn anybody around. So the only thing is you cannot go out for a board position if something was to happen. However, you could still join the movement. So please, all you have to do is just join the federation. Reach out to one of the leaders. Miranda is the leader. She's the vice president. Reach out to me and say, hey, Janetta, how do I get involved? And I'll tell you this. Our next meeting is October the 23rd. So stay tuned. You can always call me. So many people call me and say, Janetta, I want to be involved. We have a special committee called the Willing Workers. We will bring you into the Willing Workers, and the Willing Workers are committed to the division.
All right. Thank you, Miranda. Yeah, I believe Miranda was a scholarship winner, if I'm mistaken. But
Yes, indeed.
Very good. Congratulations to you again, Miranda. Let's go with Corey Wills. Do you have a question, Corey?
Hello, Janetta. It's Corey, board member.
Hey, Corey.
And hello. What kind of service projects that you guys do every national convention? I think one year you guys went to, when you were in Florida, you went to, I think, I can't remember exactly what you guys did, but can you tell us what service projects that you've done in the past and
yes,
what ones that you're wanting to do at national conventions, like in Louisiana in 22?
Corey, good answer. Okay, so first of all, in Florida, our last community service project in Florida was at the Coalition for the Homeless. And we served over 150 homeless families. And Indiana truly represented. Lee Martin and some more volunteers came from Indiana and showed up and showed out. We not only did we serve the 150 families, but we walked over to the veterans and we told them we were sweet on them and we gave them cupcakes. So that was one project. I said, I'm going to give you guys a little insight of what you missed out if you wasn't there. We brought Subway to the shelter. We had from turkey, ham, different cheese, lettuce, tomatoes, different variety of chips, sodas, water, I mean snacks. And they was able to come and just pick whatever they want, different breads. And it was so beautiful. Oh, but we had greeters at the door because I don't care what your situation is, we're going to treat you with love and respect. And they were so grateful for us serving them, but we showed them that we were grateful to be able to serve them. And so it was just a beautiful experience. So moving right along. Our last convention was in Vegas, face to face. The division, we rented a charter bus. And when we got to Three Square Food Pantry and got off that bus, I don't think they really knew that we was blind, right? And so when we tapped off that bus, you could tell it was a little uncomfortable, right? With the Southern Belle I am. I was like, howdy, you know? And so I spoke with the director and just loosened him up a little bit. I was like, oh, we ready to serve, baby. And he wrote a beautiful letter saying that we was the hardest working organization that ever came through those doors. How do we change what it means to be blind? I say one service at a time. What we have planned in New Orleans, you would have to stay tuned. We're still working on it, my brother. So hopefully, like I said, we will share it everywhere and give you guys an opportunity to be a part of that life-changing event. So hopefully we can meet face-to-face because I'm ready to see everybody.
Excellent. Okay, I saw Nicole Fincham's hand up and then Lee Mark. How about Nicole?
Good afternoon, everyone. I just wanted to jump on and just support Janetta and all the wonderful things that she's doing. And she's just an amazing person and just the spirit to know. And she always has a positive word for you. I don't care what kind of day you're having, just call Jeanette and it'll be a better day after that. So I just wanted to just jump on and support her and support the affiliate. And so far, y'all are having an awesome convention. So thank you.
Thank you, Nicole.
Thank you, Nicole. I love you so hard.
Next up, Lee Martin.
Yes, Lee. Yes, hey. Yes. How are you again?
I'm good. What's going on, Mr. Lee?
Yeah. I tell you, my first encounter was with community service under your tutelage was in Orlando, Florida. And it was such a great time and such a moving event. You had people there working with the community service from all over the country. That's what blew my mind. We had Gene Brown from Indianapolis and Florence Myers, and we just got in line, and I mean, we just served those individuals. And you know, it just kind of that really took me aback. And really let me understand my blessings, and really humbled me to serve that many people that were indigent in that area. And, you know, I'll never forget it. And I just want to thank you for that. But recently you raised quite a bit of money doing popcorn sales. You want to share a little bit about that, how that went about?
Well, it go a little something like this, Mr. Lee. I talk about vision all the time, and I have the vision, and I thank God for connecting me to visionaries. And I call the visionaries of the community service division is the willing workers. And that's the committee that say, Janetta, whatever you need me to do, I'm willing to do it. Like we're going to build the division. We're going to build the federation, and we're going to spread love, because don't nobody want no old grouchy volunteer. So about 20 of the willing workers, everybody created a store. Our goal was $10,000. They was like, how we're going to do it. So not only did I come with them with a goal of 10,000, I said, well, this is the plan of action. We each going to sell $500. That's our $10,000. And guess what? We get a $5,000 check. However, we didn't really sell $500 a store. We just kind of sold like about $1,500 a store. So it was so much fun. It was so much love. And we kind of said, like, whoever sells the most popcorn, it's going to be crowned the pop king and the pop queen. And we made it fun. But we was able to do that as a division. And it was just a beautiful thing. So when you hear that we say the community service division is popping, we truly mean that. We are popping in service. And guess what? We are popping in cheese. When I say cheese, I mean coins. When I say coins, I mean change. So that is.
I love it. All right. I believe we got CK Williams, and then we've got somebody else. Mike Hardy. Okay, CK?
Yes, this is Carol King Reese from Delaware. And I have taken part in many community service events and have loved them. And the thing I think that they do that is so powerful is it's not just on a national level. They encourage us to go individually into our communities and make a difference and show ourselves. And like Janetta said, change the image of who we are and what we can do, because we know who we are and what we can do. We just showing others. So I just thank God for that powerful thing that they're doing. And one of the things that they are doing is they're highlighting community service members who are making a difference in their communities. So Janetta, can you share a little bit more about that? Thank you so much.
Thank you, Ms. King. Of course I can. So October, we just decided to highlight, because I love sharing the spotlight, as most people would say, because we have some amazing people that supported the community service division, but we're going to narrow down to the willing workers. So if you're not a part of our listserv, I want to encourage you to please join our listserv. If you haven't liked our Facebook page, that's something you want. I think you should, you know, do. You would like to do that, right? So what we're doing is we're just sharing like bios about each willing worker, because we love loving on our people. So a lot of times people get overlooked. And many a times I feel like the community service division, we kind of like the underdogs.
But we're doing so much great things, and everybody is a leader. And sometimes people are not given the opportunity because we have so many different divisions and everything. Everybody have all these leaderships, but a lot of times those working behind the scenes, they get left behind. But as I serve as president, I want people to know that I wouldn't be nothing without the division. Like, these are the people that's willing to work and say, hey, Madam President, I got your back. What do you need? You know, and it's this movement of love is just so beautiful. And I tell people with the Community Service Division, we serve with love. That's the first thing that we do. So if you're missing love in your service, then it's not service, you know. So that's what we do in the community service. So we just showing our willing workers love. So we spotlight them. So please, we have a newsletter. I just want to give a shout out to our editor of our newsletter, Maggie Stringer. Like, we have a newsletter that we put out. If you're a writer and you want to get involved that way, that's the way you can give back. Submit us some articles. Like, we love giving back in big ways. So it's like, if you have an idea of a way that we can give back, oh, trust me, I'm kind of like the out of the box girl, right? So it's no ideal, no service is too small, no service is too big, because like I said, I'm a leader with vision. And when God give me these visions, I believe that we can do it. And everything has always unfold just the way I envision it, or even better, you know. So stay tuned, because every day in the month of October, we would definitely share a willing worker and what they're doing out there. And thank you, Ms. King, for the love and the support. We greatly appreciate your involvement. And Delaware has truly represented in the division. So thank you again.
Speaking of overlooking, I think I overlooked Kim from the Circle City chapter. And Kim, if you're still on here, please forgive me. Charge it to my head and not my heart. And if you're not, then we'll move to the next participant, which is Denise Avant. But I'm going to give Kim an opportunity. If you're still on, Kim, you can ask your question.
Hey, Miss Kim, we gonna let Mr. Brown make it, but he playing blind games. Gonna look over you like that. It's okay though. But whenever you come back, Kim, the mic is hot and the mic is yours. So
absolutely.
Good afternoon, Miss Janetta. I just wanted to thank you for everything that you are doing and what you are showing. Often, as blind people, things are given to us. People volunteer to help us. But I think what you and the Community Service Division shows is that we can give to others in a powerful and meaningful way. So thank you very much.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
Hello, it's Kim. Can you hear me?
Yes, thank you, Miss Denise. I appreciate the love. Miss Kim, yes, ma'am.
I want to say, I get one of your shirts. And I wear it proudly. I tell anybody, I am proud to wear this shirt because I'm a Black girl magic.
I know that's right, Miss Kim.
I don't know if I'm jumping ahead. I do community service for the city of Indianapolis. I don't know, Mr. Lee, want me to go ahead and say this or not, but I'm going to go ahead.
Go ahead.
I volunteer at the Indianapolis Children's Museum. I do two things there at the museum. I greet 2 days a week now, and then they gave me a nickname. I guard the restroom with the people that clean, and so they gave me an award, and they called me the bathroom bouncer.
Oh, well, come on, Miss Kim. I love it. Girl, all I want to say is you represent that blind girl magic to the finest, baby. I love it, and I love the joy that I hear in your voice. With that being said, just 1 second, since she represent blind girl magic, I also want to say, like, the shirts that the limited edition, the shirts that I have this season, it says walk, pray, slay, and the W is the first leg is the white cane, the A is a silhouette and pray of a woman praying, but the Y is the breast cancer awareness symbol, because that show, not only do I support my movement, but I also support other movements. And I like to say that Blind Girl Magic has blessed about 10 ladies so far that survivors of breast cancer with those shirts to feel empowered. Because I tell them, when you put on that Blind Girl Magic shirt, it's just a beautiful experience. You feel like you have that S on your chest. So with that being said, I'm going to give you guys just a little intro of Blind Girl Magic. When people go, what is Blind Girl Magic, Janetta Price, right? So I tell them this. Blind Girl Magic is the type of magic that struts in the room with her white cane extended. Her hips shift like the motion of the eyes of the sighted. Who would have guessed that this blind girl possessed magic? Abracadabra. Now you're convinced that I have some magical superpowers with a supernatural S on my chest. Well, that will be yes for success as I leap over obstacles in life, dodge negativity, slam misconceptions of society, slap our kids in the face where I did. That is a fact that Blind Girl Magic goes back to Helen Keller, way back to Harriet Tubman. Born into slavery, escaped the freedom, but she did not stop. She went back and back and back to lead others to freedom. Blind Girl Magic is built off the shoulders of phenomenal women. Blind Girl Magic is an independent movement that is leading our blind sisters to freedom of depression, low self-esteem, lack of confidence, anger, bitterness, rejection. Abracadabra, you are set free. Blind Girl Magic lives within Miss Kim.
Well, all right. Don't make me get to shouting up in here now, Janet.
Well,
come on now.
I mean, you know, you can shout about it.
All right. Let me see if our secretary, Diane Graves, is still wanting to ask a question, and then we're going to take Roosevelt Bradley.
And also, is Diane, I also want to acknowledge Scopy Mosley. I sent Mr. Lee a text. He was not a bomber. He was actually with me. So I asked Mr. Lee in a text, and I just want to apologize to him because he's a part of the community service division and he gave back by using his voice as well. So I had him to compliment me at the end of my speech. We was gonna give y'all a little bit more fire, but it just to show our unity in the community. But I wanted to just really acknowledge Scopy at this time and tell him that I apologize if the message wasn't received that you guys thought he was, you know, a Zoom bomber. But no, he's truly a willing worker. So I just wanted to acknowledge that. And again, I apologize, Scopy.
Mr. President.
No apology necessary. Duly noted. Let's see.
Mr. President, Scopy also has his hand raised.
Right.
So he may want.
Do we have Diane first? Or we had Scopy for a while now, right?
Yes.
Diane, and how about let's hear from Scopy, and then if Diane still wants to ask a question, she can, and then who was after her? I think that may be it. But
Roosevelt,
there you go.
Hello, everybody. This is Scopy Mosley from Durham, North Carolina. And I, like Janetta said, I'm part of the community service, and I want to challenge you all to use your voice and to use your creativity to give back to your communities and share love, you know, hold hands.
Scopy.
Yes.
Let's get it popping. You ready?
I'm ready.
All right. We shall overcome. Division among our
leaders.
Multiplied by confusion, driving away our
members. We shall overcome.
We shall overcome subtraction of our families due to the color of their skin. We serve as a special addition to our federation.
We shall be more.
So that means you and me are here. My brothers and sisters, it's time to make a stand. Our organization is financial. We serve as game changers. Time to give more time.
More
vulnerability.
More
of yourself.
I say give more.
I need your audio to match your video. I am my brother keeper.
Hey, give more.
Numbers don't lie. We are stronger together. We are the largest organization in the world advocating on behalf of blind America. We shall overcome any problem by joining.
We shall overcome.
Working toward a solution to add love, to track hate, multiply, remove the blindfolds that divide us. We are stronger together. Say it loud. Say it proud. Federation forever.
Hey,
that was excellent. All right, now I got the full effect that time. All right.
Yes, because I was like, what's going on? Scopey, thank you.
Thank you, Sophie. All right. Let's see here. We got, is it Bradley, Trey?
Roosevelt?
Yes, sir. This is Roosevelt Bradley here in Crown Point, Indiana. I was wondering, how do we contact in order to become a part of the community service division?
Awesome. I could definitely put my contact information in the chat or any of the willing workers in the Zoom room. We can definitely, can someone share my contact information? But I'm on, you can find me on the NFB. You know, I have my contact information there, website. So I'm not really hard to find unless you're playing blind games, right? So I'm definitely going to place my number and my email in the chat. I would do that before I leave. And just reach out. Anybody that's a part of the division, we can get you connected, and we would love for you to join our movement. So thank you, Roosevelt.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
Yes.
Is there any more raised hands?
I'll be willing to put it out on our state listserv as well. So with your information.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Lee. He always had my back. Thank you.
Any other raised hands? Okay, Queen, you can unmute. Joanna, I believe it is.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Can everybody hear me?
Yes, we can.
My name is Queen Talana Queen. That's what shows on your screen. I am a proud, willing worker and born and raised in Texas. I always make that known. But I want to give a challenge, I guess, coming from the willing workers. When we think about the word community service, can somebody tell me what word is in community? What other word is in that makes up the word community?
Unity.
Does anybody else know that another word that's in community?
Community. U-N-I-T-Y.
Hey,
unity. Thank you. Unity. So community service, when you think about community service, it's a lot of willing workers here. They haven't unmuted their mic, but we are unified. So we have a unity together to serve together. That's why we have a powerful movement behind a powerful leader. And I'm done speaking.
Mic drop. Absolutely.
Thank you. Amazing. So, is there any other raised hand? Janetta, you got a lot of support. Very much so. And we'll be talking to you more about our community service committee here in Indiana. I'm sure some of the board members are listening intently to all of the praise and all of the members on our division sound excited. So on our affiliates.
In closing, I just want to say, just want to encourage people to just really think outside the box when it comes to community service. And if you have a willing heart to serve, please contact me, because that's what we represent. You know, if you're looking for a place where you can get involved and you haven't found that place within the Federation, I just want to let you know that the Community Service Division doors is always open. One more thing in closing is that something that I'm truly, truly proud of. It was a blind man locally at the Salvation Army in Beaumont, Texas, who was denied shelter because he is blind. One of the caseworkers that was there went to pick up one of her clients, and her client was sharing like, "It's a blind man. He don't have anywhere to go. They say he can't come back because he's blind, and that's wrong." And I don't really know this social worker. She just know of my community advocacy. And so she found my number. Like I said, it's everywhere. She found my number. She gave me a call like about 7:30 in the morning. It was last Saturday. To make extremely long story short, he was truly denied shelter because he is blind. They wasn't doing anything for him. When I start losing sight and I joined the Federation, you guys became my family. Now he's homeless, and now he has connected with other homeless individuals which serve as his family, right? So they have been helping him, taking him back and forth to the restroom. He's only been blind like about a year due to a car accident. However, they said no, he couldn't come back. So just imagine being newly blind, homeless, and also in a community that you're not from. So with that being said, the Community Service Division was able to sponsor his initial fees. I connected with a local sober living house and the Community Service Division, because we popped a lot of popcorn, right? So we had the funds to give back to our blind brother, and we was able to pay his initial fees to stay at the sober living house. We was able to use our voice to advocate, to let them know that we would not stand for you to deny any other blind person in our community or in this world when it comes to the Salvation Army. Like, it's unacceptable. Like, you would not do that. So it has been a great movement, and it just showed a unity in our community. And so not only that, I have different local business. They say, hey, Janetta, I'll pay a week. Hey, Janetta, I'll pay a week. And it's truly been a blessing. But I just want you guys to see what we do, because who said, what's that old saying, the blind can't lead the blind? I strongly disagree, because I'm living proof how the blind can lead the blind to vision. So thank you guys.
Amen and amen. So we're going to I think there was one more raised hand, and the phone number begins with a number, and I'm not sure who that is. However, you can unmute with the star. What's that number? It's no name.
They already are. 718.
718.
Yes, hi.
All right.
Yes, hello.
What's your name?
Hi, my name is June Hunter Hardy.
June, yes, Hunter, and okay.
Yes, and I'm from Delaware. And all right. I also am I'm a member of the Willing Workers of the Community Service Division. And today is the 9th of October, and I'm one of the bios. I am the bio for today. So
absolutely.
I just wanted to thank, And I want to say thank you to Janetta and the Community Service, because my fear and was using the B word. And so therefore, I just look at myself now that dealing with the Community Service and my chapter in the Delaware area, I am pretty, I am proud, I have that self-confidence. And I'm determined, and I am blind. So I want to thank Janetta and the Community Service.
Excellent. All right.
Awesome.
So Janetta, once again, I want to thank you again for appearing on our show and our convention, because this is a very needed division for the most part. And one way, guys, we can utilize the Community Service Division is to go out and showcase blindness. Not only that, you can also grow new membership in your chapters and our affiliate. So we'll be talking more about the Community Service Division, and we will be in touch with you, Janetta.
And I will be in touch with you guys as well. Thank you guys for the opportunity to be heard. I love you guys. Stay positive and test negative.
Thank you.
I'm out.
Stick around. We have another topic that's going to come up right after the door prize. So, and that is going to segue right into what you guys are doing with our folks here in Indiana. Tammy Hollingsworth, get ready. And let's have a door prize.
All right. Let's do a $25 from the Northwest chapter. Since they didn't call back, we're going to try a new person. Curtis Childers, I think it is. Childress.
Childers?
Is it Childers? I don't know. Curtis Childers. Anyway, you have 3 minutes to call us back at 317-504-5281 or raise your hand.
Excellent. Stronger Together Through Volunteering. We have a panel discussion here, and with the moderator is our convention coordinator, our state affiliate board member. Let's welcome Tammy Hollingsworth.
Can you hear me?
We can now. Yeah.
Awesome. So first of all, I just want to thank Janetta for introducing me to Blind Girl Magic. Whenever I think it, I smile. Whenever I say it, I smile. And I promise you, I'll be smiling with that, with those words. It makes you feel powerful. So it could be Blind Girl Magic or Blind Guy Magic. But I just think it's pretty cool. Anyway, we are going to have there's three of us on the panel today, and all of us our volunteers in various ways in our community, as I'm sure many of you are as well. So depending on how much time we have available, maybe we can even hear from you what all of us Hoosiers are doing. And so I'm going to share my story in just a moment. And then we have Corey Wills, who's going to share a little bit of his volunteerism journey and story. And then Susan Jones, she has quite a powerful story of volunteerism. Susan does an awful lot in the community, so around the world, really. And so I'm really excited to be able to share this. And then hopefully we'll have some time for you guys to ask us questions or share your own volunteer experiences. So I'll just start with mine. One autumn day, we heard some noises outside and we thought it was birds, except that it was pouring down rain. And so we were trying to figure out what it was. And we discovered some kittens under our deck, tiny kittens that were in the water, needed to be removed from that. So we did, we took them to the vet, and that started us on our journey of being volunteering with an animal organization. So we actually fostered those kittens and we bottle fed them. They were about 2.5 weeks of age when they were discovered. And then we discovered when they left that we really enjoyed that, especially my daughter and I, and we wanted to be able to continue having that kind of experience. And it's interesting because some of the organizations that most need volunteers are sometimes small and hard to find. But we searched until we found one that we really liked. And so I do volunteer with Robin's Nest of Indy Incorporated here in Indianapolis. And at first, I started out volunteering just as a foster. And I took care of little bottle fed kittens, and I really loved that. But then as time went on, and I actually had been volunteering in other ways all the way through, even as a child, I was a volunteer through Girl Scouting. I've volunteered in my church. I had volunteered with a homeschool co-op as my kids grew up. So I had been, you know, used to that lifestyle. Like Janetta said, it really is a lifestyle sometimes, is volunteerism. So as I went through and my kids had graduated and my life was changing, I wanted more to do with what I was currently doing with the kittens. I wanted to be able to give more to animals. And so I was just wondering, when would it be that I would be able to do more for the organization? And I was one day, I'd been volunteering for about 5 years, and then I was asked if I would like to be a foster manager. And I was like, wow, okay, what is that? And so that started me on my journey of really not only serving the animals in the community, but serving the people. So I became a foster manager, and I began training fosters. I began working with fosters who had questions and concerns about their cats and kittens. And then I started into even more management duties with the organization. And now I actually work in a much larger capacity, working with adopters to assist them with matching up with their kittens. I help people as far as deciding if they would like to adopt the kitties. I mean, I'm kind of involved in every facet of the rescue that I work with. I really love what I do. And I think that what I want to share with you from my story, really, and I just want to be really quick about it so the others can tell their story, and then we can move on to getting some questions answered specific to each person. But it's really important that you, when you seek out an opportunity to serve, that you focus on your gifts, because you have one. Every one of us has special gifts, and there are groups out there that are looking for you. You may not know it, but they are. They may not know it, but they are. I remember the day that I first met the founder of the rescue, and I had called her. I did not tell her I was blind or anything. I just told her I was really interested in fostering. And I remember sitting, my daughter and I drove to meet her, and I remember thinking, what is she going to think about me when she sees my white cane? Is she going to let me do this? Is she going to have any confidence in me at all? But, you know, I just picked up my cane and I walked through the door and I put on a big smile and I tried to exude the confidence that I felt in my heart I knew I could do this because I knew that it was something that I loved, and I knew that it was something that I had to give. And when you have a gift, it's really, it gives you the empowerment to know that you've got the tools that it takes to do whatever it is that organization needs. Also, as a parent, I tried to instill the love of volunteerism in my children as my mom instilled it into me. So, you know, I had a lot of volunteer opportunities as a child, and I think that's part of what makes me want to do it. And so I think if you can get your kids involved, it's really great to do that. And so those are probably my biggest things I'd like to share. I'm happy to answer any questions, but I'd like to first pass it along. Hopefully Corey is there and unmuted, and I'd like to pass it along to Corey Wills so that he can talk to you about his volunteerism experience with Lions Clubs.
Good afternoon, my fellow family from Indiana. My name is Corey Wills. I started my volunteerism about 10 years ago. A great friend of mine asked me if I would like to be part of the Lions Club of Indiana, of Indianapolis. And so I went to a couple meetings and stuff, and I said, well, you know, I think I'd like to give back even though I have a disability of blindness. And so I went to a couple meetings, did that, and then he asked me if I would join, and I said yes, and he said that I'll be your sponsor. So it's a great organization to belong to. The motto is We Serve. Here in Indiana, we have 7 different districts in the state of Indiana, and ranging from A through G, and the Indianapolis to Evansville, and from Indianapolis to Richmond is District F, like in Frank. So the District F is very, very wide, district. In our district, there are 63 to 65 clubs in the district. And each district has their own district governor. So there's 7 different district governors. In each club, they do different projects. Like an example is our club does the corn stand at the Indiana State Fair. I've done that for a number of years. And then in the winter, we do our Christmas tree sale, that is held at a church on 86th Street. We sell different heights of Christmas trees for different prices, and we get them from a tree farm up in northern Indiana. Then we do a dictionary project every fall this time of year. We collaborate with the Washington Township liaison for community service or whatever type they want to be called. So we asked, okay, how many different third graders is there in each school? And I think we've done 7 or 8 different schools in doing the dictionary project. So we put our labels inside the book that was from the Indianapolis Washington Township Lions Club, and that's actually the district that the School for the Blind here in Indianapolis, Indiana is in. And even though I live in Pike Township, you can still go to a live in one township but serve in another. So it's not you have to serve in the district that you're in. So that's one good thing about it. There's other clubs that do different projects. Some do pancake breakfasts, some do auctions, some do fish fries, tenderloins, spaghetti dinners. Southport does a spaghetti dinner, raise money for the Southport Police Department for their equipment and stuff like that. And like I said, there's different clubs across the state of Indiana, and not here in Indiana. There's clubs throughout the country, and throughout the world. I don't know how many clubs there are. There are probably millions and billions of clubs across the world. But there is a club near you. So if you're passionate about serving in a service organization, Lions
Lions clubs are the top number five, probably serving organizations in the country. You do have to be invited to, have a sponsor sponsor you, and you also have to be invited to a Lions meeting by another member to come to it. So invitations only. We just recently had a person from Illinois recently be a transplant from Illinois into Indiana. So he's joining our club, and so there's different ways that you can serve in the Lions Club in your local community, and they have different projects that they serve. So, and you can also go to different clubs and check them all out. Like I said, there's 65 clubs in the district from Indianapolis to Evansville and Indianapolis to Richmond. So, and also depends on what part of the state that you're in. Not all states have the same amount of districts. Some, I don't know how many, Illinois, Ohio, Michigan, and Kentucky, I don't know how many, but if you go to Google and type in Lions Club International, which is based out of Oak Brook, Illinois, they'll be able to tell you where there's a club near you. But it's a great organization to belong to. And if I'm not mistaken, we have three federations on this call that are involved in the Southport Lions Club. Our own very well Ron Brown and his wife, and Chris Hollingsworth as well. If you want to volunteer, give back to the community. There's no job too small or too big. You can partner with the Weirdo Mission here in Indianapolis or any organization, that you can be a part of. Do we have any questions for my part of the presentation?
Corey, we'll wait until everybody is finished, and then we'll let folks ask questions if that's okay.
Okay, that's fine.
So thank you, Corey. And now I want to introduce Susan Jones. Susan is quite she's heavily, very active in volunteerism. And what I want to say about Susan's presentation is this: it doesn't matter how old you are, how young you are, there is somewhere that your light can shine and that your volunteerism is needed. And I'm sure she's going to give us a great insight into what she does. And so, Susan, take it away.
Okay, am I unmuted?
Yes, you are.
Thank you very much. I am so humbled to be on this panel because I can tell you that I know many of you volunteer circles around me. So I'm just one, and I do what I do. So I'm going to talk a little bit about that. Janetta, you are absolutely poetry in motion, and I loved your presentation and everyone who spoke up and supported you. I just think community service is the way to go.
I don't understand. How did I turn the speaker off?
So how would you go about making a retirement plan for yourself? Here are three things I did. Read ahead to know what to expect. Think about what I loved about my current job, and think about things I could begin doing while still working and continue into retirement. What I love most about my job at Social Security was helping people, especially people who were struggling. Seeing someone on their way to a good solution or resolution, I found very satisfying. What could I start doing now and continue into retirement? I love to travel, especially with a group to accomplish a redemptive purpose. I've sponsored children through Compassion International for a very long time. So while I was still working, I did some of that. I traveled to other countries to visit my sponsored children and see firsthand on the ground what Compassion was doing. I started reading to the children in my neighborhood at before and after school, their before and after school care. I knew that I wanted to stay active and keep healthy, and I just like to keep moving. I don't sit still very long. And I wanted to use the skills and knowledge I'd gained through my work experience to serve others. Now 7 years beyond retirement, here are some of the things I'm doing. Still reading to the neighborhood children, going on a medical mission trip as a trip to as a translator between Spanish and English to Guatemala to help doctors and nurses and their patients to build relationships and treat patients. Volunteering in the school near my home as a reading coach and packing daily healthy snacks for the students. Working as a leader with a group of teen moms. Building relationships with women and children at our local homeless shelter, Wheeler Center for Women and Children. And a side note here, I joined a group called Kaleo, K-A-L-E-O, which means called in Greek. It's an organization of Christian women who want to learn how to serve in the community, particularly serve women and children and people in need. And so you can reach them at KaleoIndy.org, and that's an excellent way to get into community service if you would like to learn and serve. I believe at my age, I have more time and more energy to help and make it easier and more fulfilling for others who are still growing, still figuring out how to overcome their challenges and live well. But the thing is, I find in volunteering that I, too, am being more fulfilled than I ever have. And like the people I help, I am still being challenged and still growing. I believe volunteering keeps me young and helps me live better and longer. I offer each of you an invitation to find ways, in especially in your senior years, to keep growing by finding your niche or niches and helping others in whatever ways you can. If you look hard enough and you don't have to look very far, you can always find someone, maybe several someones, who will be glad for who you are and what you have to offer. Even if it's a listening ear or a shoulder to lean on, trust me, your best years may be ahead of you. You are always, they are always there for the living. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Susan. We really appreciate that. And thank you to Corey as well. And I want to open the floor now to anyone who might have questions for our panelists, or if you'd like to share an experience in community service for yourself. We have some time for that, and I would love to hear what our Hoosier Federationists are doing out there. So any questions or sharing that you'd like to do, don't hide your light under a bush. This is a time to show, to tell what you're up to.
Sarah Meyer.
Hey, Sarah.
Hi. Thank you so much, all of you, for sharing. I have a question. I'm especially curious posing this to you, Tammy, but curious for each of you, if you can talk a little bit about what strategies that you've used, or like, alternative techniques for blindness that you've used in your volunteerism and community service, and how you have been able to use your experiences to, use structured discovery, and like really how it's impacted your philosophy of blindness.
Okay, well, thank you, Sarah. I can start, and then anyone else who either of any of the other panelists can jump in. But I think for me, I have to develop quite a few alternative techniques. And I use, in my particular brand of volunteerism, I use a lot of speech technology and other technologies. And I have to come up with ways to figure out how to, when I'm working directly with the kittens, I have to figure out ways to be able to, if I need to medicate them or whatever. So I have to make sure I have the right tools. So fortunately, my rescue that I work with is very open to providing me if, you know, with items that I would need to make that possible. So I think that's kind of a general answer, but I do, you know, I just really, and I also put blindness in, I guess, in front. I'm never ashamed or hesitant to mention to someone that I am visually impaired. Well, I actually say that I'm blind, but I'll just say, you know, I'm blind. For example, we have in our organization, we have people who need to pick up supplies or drop off kittens here or there when they're releasing kittens to us. And so there's paperwork involved with that. And so a lot of times when I'm doing the exam on their kittens, I'll say, would you please complete this? Because I have to turn it in anyway. And so I'll just ask them if they're willing to do that, because a lot of times they are. And I usually, when I'm doing intakes, especially because that I'm the first person that they see having to do with our organization. So it's usually started in a phone or email or text format, and then it moves to a personal time of actually meeting the person. And it's kind of an emotional time for them sometimes, because sometimes they're releasing an animal that they've loved for a long time. And so I have to be compassionate and understanding that it takes them a minute to be able to let go of that animal. And, you know, and I always try to empathize with them, and I always try to reassure them that, you know, the kitty's going to be okay. But I think, you know, it's just, I think it's important to, when you show them the confidence, it's like they, a lot of times, don't even notice the blindness, if that makes sense. If you exude confidence, sometimes for they sure. do. And when they do, I just answer their questions, but, I hope that answers the question somewhat. And Corey,
that's so helpful.
This is Susan. One of the things I do at school is these little healthy snack packets come in big boxes, and they have to be counted out into the refrigerator bags for each classroom. And so I braille the numbers and they're Dymo tape, and I braille them and put them on the bag so I know which bag is which. They're labeled in print also, so that the delivery kids know where to deliver them. So my supervisor sends me every once in a while the count for the classrooms at school by email. And so I have a sheet of paper that has all that information on it. And so that's what I use to do that. Of course, reading to the kids is a slam dunk, because I get my books from National Braille Press. Sometimes I get them from the library as well, those print braille picture books that all the kids love, because they can not only hear me read, but they can see the pictures. And I love to find stories and different braille magazines that I can read. And sometimes I'll go hang out with the ladies at Wheeler, and I'll bring a story to read, or I'll bring, and sometimes those picture books are good for that too, because everybody has a child inside them somewhere. And I bring my ukulele along and sing, and I use Open Door to get there. You know, you just roll with what you got.
John? Are you guys able to hear me?
That's awesome.
What? Yeah, we hear you, Corey.
We can hear you.
From John, or?
What do you want to do? This is John.
All right.
Nope.
Sorry.
All right. This is Mr. Strute over in Clinton. Corey, I belong to the Lions Club. I've been a member since 1993, and our Lions Club goes to the schools every fall and tests the eyes of the first, third, fifth, and eighth graders. And in the last 14 years, we're up over 30,000 kids that we've tested, and I'm out in the hall as a monitor, sending the kids in three at a time to the guys that's testing the kids' eyes. And I give a little pep talk about all the problems with eyes and to take care of their eyes, because they only have one pair to last them a lifetime. And then I show them how to fold my money, how to count my money and all that stuff in my billfold. I make braille bookmarks for kids in the fifth grade with the name of the school and the date that we did it. And it says Lions Club, We Serve on the bottom of it. And then we hand out alphabet cards along with that. And we've had, and in the last 40 years, I started going to schools and making talks and to the first, third, and fifth grades, I'd make talks and make bookmarks with the kids' names and the name of the school. And So far I've kept track of them. I'm up over 10,000 bookmarks in Braille that I've made for all the kids in the school systems in the last 40 years. So anyway, I've been a member for, the, like I said, 28 years, and I've belong or worked a lot of the projects, spaghetti suppers, mozzarella dinners, sell raffle tickets, worked the Little Lily Festival, a salami and cheese giveaway wheel where I put poker chips in a little tumbler and put 20 in a thing, and it's $5. Then I label all the envelopes in Braille for 1s, 5s, 10s, and 20s, and they give me change, and I make change with them and hand it back to the guys and give it to the people out there on the board that's putting their money down to try to buy or win a salami or cheese. But it keeps me busy, and I enjoy every minute of it. So, and I've enjoyed every minute, and I was a trustee for the School for the Blind through the Lions Club for 9 years over there. And volunteering, like I said, it's like Susan says, and Tammy, it's a thing that it keeps going giving all the time, and you're better off by volunteering your services and making somebody else feel that you need to be a member of this community and all the rest of the thing, and makes you really feel good. It makes them feel good, and you're doing a service to the community. So that's my segment. That's all I know for the betterment of my country and a flag waving American. So take it away, Tammy.
Thank you. Way to go, John Stroop.
Thanks, John. Wow. We have Kim, Tammy, with a raised hand as well.
All right,
as
Kim.
Someone else.
Hello, can you hear me, Tammy?
Yes, ma'am.
As I said earlier, volunteer at the museum. My experience, I have a lot of them, though, but I ain't going to get all through all of them. I elbow the little kids when I talk to them. Some of them, they talk to me, some of them don't. But when I use my cane, I always use my cane when I'm not, getting in, and once I won't run into none of them or what. But some of them will see me, and then I can hear them ask, well, what's that, or what's the sick part? And I can hear them ask their parents, and I can stop, and I tell them. And the parents will sit up there and say, well, thank you. They'll thank me. They say, well, you did a good job of telling them what the explaining what the cane is, what the white cane is on. I say, I don't mind. It gives me something to do. I love the museum. And then a lot of people, they just tell me in journal when I greet them and give them instructions of where to go, how to do the use their tickets and what. They say you are doing so good. You are really good. I don't use my stick when I stand, but when I do use it, they do see me use it. And I still tell them. They say you do good. I said, well, thank you. I love it there. It's a good experience at the museum working with the little kids. I love working there. It's wonderful.
Well, thank you so much for sharing, Kim. And I think you made a really good point. Is not only, and we've said this before, but not only does helping others make them feel better, but you feel fantastic when you are doing something that makes a difference. And any kind of volunteerism makes a difference. And you have something that you love and you're really passionate about. And whatever that is, that's the thing to grab a hold of and see if you can find a way to channel that. And because it's a wonderful thing. I mean, it really is. It's just wonderful to be able to be that person that made a difference for that other person today. It really makes you feel good. Thank you, Kim, for sharing that. Are there any others?
Debbie Morgan. You want to unmute Debbie?
Are you there, Debbie Morgan?
Star 6.
There we go. Sorry about that.
There we go.
I'm a little slow on the uptake today. I love volunteering too. Until the coronavirus hit, I volunteered at Glen Acres Elementary School. I worked there as a teacher's aide from 2009 to 2016. And I worked in a kindergarten classrooms in first grade. And I had the Braille. They have, the sight words like is, be, come, and, stuff like that. and somebody helped me. We brailled them, and then I would get the books from the library. As I think Tammy, you were talking about the print braille books and read to the kids. Mm-hmm. Or Susan, I'm sorry. Mm-hmm. Okay, I like doing that too, and I play an auto harp, and sometimes, especially around Christmas time, and sometimes at the end of school, I take the auto harp and sing, and they love to play and sing the little kids' songs. You know, I don't get to do that anymore. Actually, I'm trying to find a place I can do it again because I miss the kids. I loved mm-hmm. it.
Well, you just keep looking, Debbie. I'm sure there's a school that. You know, they're starting to get back in school now, or there might yes. be a community center or a preschool yeah. or something that would love.
Yeah,
to
I think I'm gonna. I think I'm gonna start looking into that. My husband's awesome. Orthopedically impaired and had a lot of some surgeries and different things. But mm-hmm. yeah, I miss the kids, and I haven't been able to be on here for everything. But I really like this convention and what's going on, and I think it's great. And we all have a lot of similar interests, I'm finding out. So that's
it's amazing what you have in common with others.
Tammy, you got a few more minutes, Tammy, and you have a raised hand from Terry Williams and I believe Ray.
You can mute me. I'll shut up now.
Okay, Terry. We can't hear you, Terry, so you need to unmute.
Come in. Meanwhile, you want to grab Ray and then see if Terry can get unmuted.
Ray, are you available?
Yeah, I'm here. Yeah, I'm right here. Uh-huh. All right. Well, hey, great conversation. Definitely wanted to just jump in real briefly. Volunteering definitely does more for the one that's, you know, volunteering, I believe, definitely makes you feel good. I know at the Circle City chapter, we got the VVV, the Visible, Viable, Vibrant. So we're always trying to reach out to various organizations, churches and things like that to talk about, you know, blindness and, you know, just dismiss all the myths that people have. But one thing that I like to do right now, I've been doing the last few years, is really talking to the student at the ISBVI. That's one thing I actually always look forward to, talking to the third, fourth, fifth, sixth graders, because they always have some of the best questions. You never know what they're going to ask you when they when you're in those type of meetings and settings. But I believe, you know, definitely for those children at that age, they're very impressionable and, you know, wondering what they can do. And, you know, so just really seeing someone that's doing, you know, positive things within the community gives them hope and lets them know that, you know, they can do whatever they put their mind to at the end of the day. So, yeah, definitely gives you a good sense.
So we got Janet Palmer left the last question, Tammy, and then you can wrap it up.
All righty. I just thought this was absolutely excellent because volunteer work is so vital. And the last individuals, she said that about age, and sometimes we put that limit on ourselves because of what age we are getting to be. And I know that when I was in New Jersey, I used to volunteer at many of the schools and tell the schools what blind people are like and answer questions about that. But that was years ago, and I'm still volunteering in my seventh decade. But sometimes people tell us that we have to stop volunteering, but you can only continue as long as you feel you can, because volunteer work is so vital. And that's just wanted to share that.
Absolutely. You go, girl.
Mm-hmm. Well, thank you to everybody for participating this afternoon in this panel and for sharing. And I don't know about you, but I feel very uplifted by all of the presentations here. And, you know, if you're not volunteering, well, you are, because you're an NFB member. So they've always got us doing something. But so you're already volunteering in some capacity with your chapter or your division, but just take it a little further or do a little more, reach in a little deeper, and try to find that within yourself that makes you special and an asset to someone, and go out, sell yourself, and show them your blind girl or guy magic.